She was on the road to recovery when her substance abuse clinic sent her home with a weekend supply of treatment to give herself. When her son wouldn't wake up the next morning, she said it must be a pre-existing medical condition, but he was lying in a pool the same color as her medication. This is the story of Kimberly Compass, the Kansas mom who says her friend must have fed her 2-year-old son her methadone. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here. I'm a Midwesterner who now lives in New York City, putting my writing degree to use by researching true crime cases that interest me, and hopefully you. And hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. I actually hit 50,000 subscribers this week, and I'm going to be sending out t-shirts to my longtime patrons as a thank you for all of the support, so please look out for an email from me. Today's case takes place in Wichita, Kansas, home of Pizza Hut and White Castle, but most importantly, the birthplace of Jeff Probst, host of my favorite TV show, Survivor. In May 2019 in Wichita, Kimberly Dawn Compass asked her grandmother for help with her son, Zayden Lee Janus Shaklu. She said the 2-year-old was hard to handle, so she wanted her grandmother to keep him and his 3-year-old sister for the summer. Her grandmother told her yes, leave the kids, but Kimberly wanted to take them home first to help pack. At the same time, 23-year-old Kimberly was texting a local family crisis ministry called Faith Builders to see what they could do. They had gifted her food and diapers in the past, and now they were willing to help place Zayden in a temporary home. Kimberly said she wanted to offload him for a little bit. She said maybe a weekend or a month or quote-unquote summer LOL something, I need help. So the ministry found a home with other kids where he could play out in the country. But Zayden would never see that home, and he'd never see his great-grandmother again either. The electricity was off at Kimberly's home, so a friend got a room at the Sunset Motel where they and her kids could all spend the night on May 30th. The next morning, the friend woke up at 9 a.m. to find Zayden in a bed, warm but in a pool of his own vomit. It was bright pink. The friend wanted to give the boy CPR and drive him to the hospital, but Kimberly just ran some water over his forehead and waited for an ambulance to arrive. One news source says that the 911 call was made at 9:46 a.m., which is 46 minutes after the friend says he woke up and found Zayden near death. Paramedics pronounced Zayden dead at 10:35 a.m. It definitely makes you wonder why it took so long to call 911, how long it took paramedics to arrive, and how much faster Kimberly could have driven Zayden to the hospital. But she probably knew what had killed him and wasn't in any hurry to face the consequences.
After that, smart, funny, always with his sister. His sister was his best friend, and he just loved his mom. Hung out with me and my friend Mike, and that was about it. He was a great boy, though. And when I got up to get him, I seen that he had threw up, so I immediately called the EMS, the paramedics, 911. They told me to do CPR on him, so I rode him over and tried to do that, and it freaked me out. I became hysterical, which, of course, I would. He's my son. And then I just waited for them to get there.
Zayden was pronounced dead, and the Department for Children and Families has opened an investigation. But Compass says any past contact she's had with the organization was based on false claims.
A lot of people were calling DCF on me, making false reports. So as DCF's job, which you guys saying that they failed another child, they've done nothing but do everything that they were supposed to with my family.
See, Kimberly was getting methadone from a local clinic to help her get off of harder drugs. She would usually go to the clinic once a day to get a dose of the synthetic opioid to ease her pain as she withdrew from the other drugs she had been on. But at the end of May, the clinic was going to be closed for the weekend while it moved to a new spot, so they gave her 3 bottles of methadone to administer to herself. The instructions were clear: keep the bottles sealed and put them in a locked box. The drug could be fatal to children if it got into the wrong hands. But Kimberly didn't follow the instructions. She put the bottles in a pencil box covered in superheroes, you know, the kind kids like, with a lock that didn't work. And instead of leaving it locked in her car, she brought it to the room at the motel. and instead of taking the day's dose all at once, it was poured into a can of Coke and a bottle of jungle juice, a fruity drink that, again, is meant for kids. And methadone itself is given a cherry flavor to make it easier to swallow. The can and bottle were left on the motel nightstand. The friend who stayed with them at the motel had actually been worried about Zayden since the family arrived. The little boy had been snoring loudly, was hard to wake up, had trouble walking, and was even slurring his words. Kimberly said he was just tired from running around the park that day, but the friend now believes he may have been given the drug before they even arrived at the motel. Of course, this all came out later. In the days following Zayden's death in the motel room, there were lots of rumors, but no charges until the results of the toxicity testing came back. Kimberly said Zayden suffered from seizures and figured he probably died from something related to that. You know, despite the bright pink puke.
He wrapped his arms around my neck and said, "Daddy, I love you." And I told him I loved him too. And he just ran back off to play. And then that was it.
It's one of the final memories Caleb Janey Shocklew has of his 2-year-old son, Zayden.
A few days back, I got the call that no one's ever wanted to get. And just, it's kind of it. He went home after that. I have to figure out how to tell my 2 oldest children that their little brother's not going to be around anymore, that he's never coming home. I've seen on Facebook that they're saying a lot of justice for Zayden and everything else, and people making posts about him. The thing that bothers me the most about it is we don't even know what happened yet. It's still pending an investigation. I just hope no one else has to go through this.
Kimberly said she immediately called 911 despite her hysteria, and that anyone reporting her to the Kansas Department for Children and Families was just jealous. And I already can't stand when people who aren't self-aware say any criticism of them must be jealousy, but this instance really takes the cake. She said, "Everybody says they're not jealous of me and they have no reason to be, but as a mother who has just lost her son, what other reasons would you have to be hateful in this situation when I've done nothing but care for my children?" Sure, Kimberly. The DCF said they had been investigating Kimberly for neglect after multiple reports from concerned people even before Zayden died, although at the time, they weren't able to reach any conclusions. After his death, they determined that he had been physically abused. He had bruises on his face and legs at the time of death. Kimberly was finally arrested in August 2019, 3 months after the poisoning. She was charged with first-degree murder and held on a bond of $500,000. She said she would never intentionally hurt her kids and was in recovery. She tried to throw the blame onto anyone else, saying, "I don't want to say too much, but I believe that something is not right here, most definitely. I can say that. Something most definitely is not right because there are certain details that haven't added up to itself." The autopsy showed that the amount of methadone in Zayden's system would have killed an opioid-addicted adult. I think that distinction is interesting because it just shows how much he had to have consumed. Not just enough to kill any adult, but an adult that was already used to opioids. Kimberly pleaded not guilty. Trial began in May 2021 with prosecutors saying that single mother Kimberly was reckless and mishandled a dangerous drug known to be lethal to children. Kimberly's defense said that she was a struggling mother, yes, but she would never purposely hurt her child. But Kimberly's grandmother testified that she'd seen Kimberly push Zayden, tell him to get away from her, and call him stupid. She said there was a stark difference between the way Kimberly treated Zayden and his older sister. While she said the girl was good and her best friend, she would call Zayden dumb and be mean to him. Kimberly said he was hard to handle and wouldn't listen to her, which, correct me if I'm wrong because I'm not a parent, is the definition of a 2-year-old.
She pushed Zayden across my living room and told him to get away from her. That he was dumb, he was stupid, and he was...
A forensic scientist testified that when they swabbed the methadone bottles found in the pencil box, Zayden's DNA was found on the mouth of one of the bottles. The safety cap on it wasn't shut tight. The friend who got the hotel room for the family testified that he told Kimberly to at least put the box on top of a tall piece of furniture so the kids couldn't get to it. But in a selfie taken in the motel room, you can see it sitting on a nightstand at bed level. Kimberly told the authorities that the box was in her SUV the entire time. Kimberly was set to testify in her own self-defense, but instead she sent a former neighbor to the stand for her. This neighbor said that she overheard an argument between Kimberly and the friend from the motel in the front yard, and he confessed to killing Zayden.
He said, "I can't wait for the tox report to come back because you're going to spend the rest of your life in prison for the murder of your son." And then he said, "And just know, every day that you spend in prison, you'll think of me and know that I'm the one that took your baby from you."
Reggie said those words.
Yes.
And that's your testimony?
Yes.
Okay. And you've known it that long?
Yes.
And did you ever sit down and talk to Detective Addie Perkins about it?
No.
In day four of the Kimberly Cumbus trial, the defense revealed new evidence on what possibly led to the two-year-old's death. Kimberly Cumbus's former neighbor, Christina Eastman, took the stand in the mother's defense, claiming Kimberly Cumbus and Reggie Witters were arguing in the front yard when Witters confessed he killed Zayden. The prosecution immediately questioned the witness.
You love Kimberly that much?
I would say so.
You heard him say, "Remember, I took your baby away from you?"
Yes.
And you knew what was going on with Kimberly, that her baby had died, right?
Yeah.
And you knew that she'd been into the police station.
Yes.
And you knew that they were waiting for toxicology reports to come back.
Yes.
And you knew all that information.
Yes.
And yet you don't go to the detective in charge of the case and tell her, "Hey, Reggie said this."
I have my reasons.
The prosecutor asks why the neighbor never went to the police with this information, and she says, "I have my reasons." Cool. On the stand, under oath, let's hear these reasons. The friend who helped Kimberly get the hotel room, Reginald Witers, testified that when he woke to find Zayden sick, Kimberly wouldn't help him do anything.
Kimberly Cumbus was not alone when two-year-old Zayden died. Reggie Witters, who found the toddler lying in his own throw-up, took the stand today.
"When I woke up and looked over and seen him laying in the throw-up, I lift him up and I shake, you know, I jump him up and down a little bit. I'm shaking him, you know, like this, barely, you know, trying to get him to wake up, and he wouldn't wake up, so I told Kimberly, "Hey, is something wrong with your son?"
Witters testified that Zayden was extremely sick in the hours leading up to his death. The two-year-old could barely walk and was even slurring his speech. Witters claimed he told Kimberly Cumbus repeatedly, "Something is wrong with your son," but nothing was done. Hours later, Witters woke up the next morning and found the toddler lying in a puddle of throw-up on the floor of the motel room. Witters immediately tried to revive the child while Cumbus called 911, but claims Cumbus did not do enough to save the child.
"She didn't touch him none that whole morning. She wouldn't touch him. I kept telling her, 'Hey, come help me, you know, try to revive your son.' And she said no."
So basically, the jury had to decide if this was a mom who neglected her little boy and knowingly put him in harm's way, an accident that she couldn't have foreseen, or a nefarious act by a friend. Unsurprisingly, it took them about 2 hours to find Kimberly guilty of murdering her son, Zayden. But she wasn't going to go quietly. As soon as the verdict was read, this is what she had to say.
"Let me ask a question about Reginald Witers murdered my son. You guys convicted me guilty. I just wonder who I'm going to talk to about that. Because I don't think that this is fair."
In case you missed that, she said, "Who do I need to ask the question about? Reginald Witers murdered my son. You guys convicted me guilty. I just wondered who I could talk to about that because I don't think that this is fair." Sentencing was supposed to take place in August 2021, but Kimberly said she was dissatisfied with her representation for not bringing things up at the trial that could have helped in her defense. She asked for a new lawyer, and in a little bit of a shock to me, the judge granted her one. So there was a hearing in November 2023 to decide if Kimberly would also be granted a new trial. Her new lawyer said she was too trusting of people she thought would help her, and they tried to bring in some new witnesses. But the judge eventually sided with the prosecution, deciding that Kimberly's original trial was fair. She was denied a new trial. So the following year, in September 2024, Kimberly Compass was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole for 25 years. Zayden's dad's side of the family asked for at least 40 years without parole, while Kimberly's attorney suggested the idea that she shouldn't go to prison at all. She said Kimberly had been on the path toward recovery by going to beauty school and working through the trauma of her childhood in foster care. She said Kimberly had been beaten in jail and called a child killer. Kimberly said it also wasn't fair that Zayden's real killer was walking around free. Nice try. Her lawyer said, "No one thinks that my client deliberately set out to hurt this child." But in this case, first degree doesn't mean intentional murder. It means recklessly causing or permitting a child under age 18 to be placed in a situation in which the child's life, body, or health is endangered. And I think we can all agree that whether or not Kimberly meant for Zayden to die, she put him in a situation where he could die by leaving her drugs where he could reach them. The judge said that no matter anyone's feelings on either side, Kansas law requires a sentence of life in prison without the possibility of parole for 25 years. Zayden's grandmother on his dad's side said they don't support anyone being violent toward Kimberly in prison, but she added, "But every day she gets up and walks out of that jail cell, and she eats and she has access to watch TV, go to the library, be around other people. That boy was laid in the grave, and he will never walk out." As for Zayden's dad, he and Kimberly were no longer in a relationship when this all happened. He hopes she spends the rest of her life remembering that she caused the death of his son.
Moments after the verdict, the family got emotional for different reasons.
The fact that she has no remorse, no action, that she can smile in the courtroom and then try to blame somebody else in the moment that that verdict gets handed down speaks a lot on the fact that she just has no emotion. I believe beyond the shadow of a doubt that she already knew what was coming. She's had 2 years to plan for it.
With tears in his eyes, Zayden's father told us he feels his son finally has justice.
I had a lot of people say that they hoped that she had gotten the death penalty or anything else, but I just hope she spends every day of her life knowing that our son, my son, is not here because of her.
Now, I want to be completely fair to Kimberly here and say that Zayden was a little different than your average boy. He was born prematurely and only weighed 3.5 pounds. He had been treated for seizures that may have been caused by a viral infection. He had to use a sleep apnea machine when he was a baby, and it was a lot for Kimberly. So he stayed with the executive director of the Faith Builders Ministry for 5 months one time. But his dad said he loved to smile and was a beautiful boy. He liked to throw the toys from his toy box so he could get inside instead. In one way, I appreciate that Kimberly tried to get help from people when she knew she needed it. Kimberly's cousin said she would sometimes come to her and ask if she would watch Zayden for an hour, and then Kimberly would come back 3 days later. It's clear she was struggling. But it's also clear she didn't do enough to keep her baby safe. It was only 3 days before his third birthday when he died. His older sister will stay with her dad's family. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.